Amen, amen. Listen, there's a word for us in the book of Acts, chapter 14. Acts, chapter 14. I want to read for your hearing verses 19 through 23. Acts 14, verses 19 through 23. That text says, then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. For the sake of emphasis, would you come back to the 19th verse where it says they stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. I want to talk today about getting through a bad beating. Getting through a bad beating. I suspect that there may be a couple of people here today who can identify with a bad beating. Some of you have been through some terrible things in your life, and you can testify that the Lord will somehow and some way bring you through. Then there are others who are going through some stuff right now, and you came here to get a little strength, to keep on trusting the Lord, to see you through what you are going through. And then there's others who are looking up the road and see some terrible things with your name on it. And perhaps you've come here today to see, can you talk God into somehow leading your path around the stormy weather that you see up the road? And if you can't talk God into avoidance, then you've come to ask the Lord to give you strength to endure. Well, I got marvelous news for you. Just like God saw Paul through a life-threatening beating, God can see you and God can see me through the same. Now, walk with me as we try to unpack our thesis for the day. We should focus on obeying God's will instead of beatings that we suffer. That's what I'm talking about. We should focus on obeying God's will instead of the beatings that we suffer. Now, let's make sure we got this beating stuff right here. The text says that they stoned Paul. And if you're not familiar with the stones of the Bible, you may picture a pebble in your mind. You may picture a small stone that you might put in a slingshot to kill a bird or something. That's the wrong picture. Erase that picture. Perhaps a better picture would be brick. City folk know about a brick. That would be a better picture of what they were throwing at Paul. They were throwing what we would have called bricks. You wouldn't kill nobody with no little pebble, but you throw a couple of bricks at somebody, especially in the head, they about threw them. They were throwing bricks at Paul. And the only reason they stopped is because they thought he was dead. I think we can agree this is a bad beating. And I want you to know that if you just keep on living, beatings are commonplace in the lives of God's people. Now, it may not be a brick throwing contest, as in our text, but perhaps it would be a financial beating, terminated without cause from your job. Unexpected huge expenditures show up in your finances. The fiscal cliff got everybody's attention. We know nothing about no fiscal cliff until the news informed us that if the White House and Congress can't get together, if you thought the recession was bad, they suggest to us that more financial beatings are on the way. Or it may be relational beatings. You may discover those in whom you've put so much trust and you love so dearly may become your worst enemy. Children and loved ones can cause so much heartache. If it's not relational, perhaps it's a health beating. Injury and disease can just sneak up in our life. And we don't talk about this much, but there's mental beatings. There is clinical depression. I'm not talking about just a day or two of having the blues. I'm talking about deep, severe, suicide-considering depression. Bipolar personality, schizophrenia, and anxiety disorder. All kinds of beatings can come into our life. I heard Psalms 34:19 talk about many are the afflictions of the righteous. And Matthew 5:45 talks about how the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. You ought not think you're just going to somehow tiptoe through life and never have a beating, and a bad beating at that. And when it comes, inevitably, you will raise the question, what is the cause? What is the cause of the beating in your life? Now, one cause, and we don't like to talk about this, this one doesn't make us feel good, but it's true. Sometimes the cause of our beating is our own sin. Why are terrible things happening to me? Because Galatians 6:7 says we shall reap what we have sown. You cannot go through life not applying yourself at a maximum, wasting all the little pennies you do get on consumer items to impress somebody else, and then cry foul when you end up broke and poor. You reaped what you have sown. You can't have sex with everybody who catches your eye and then wonder why you got sexually transmitted diseases. And if not sexually transmitted diseases, you can't be all that surprised when you go outside and see people done scratched unflattering terms on your car, and your home has become a place of drama and discord. You sleep with the phone off the hook because you have sown all kinds of drama. You reap all kinds of drama. You can't drink like a fish and then wonder why my liver giving me problems. Come on now. You reap what you sow. Sometimes the beating is nurtured by our own sin. But then other times, like in the text, our beating is nurtured because of our allegiance to Christ. Sometimes it's not sin, sometimes it's Christ. Because we are on the Lord's side, we find ourselves eligible for beatings and warfare. Ephesians 6:11 talks about putting on the whole armor of God so that you can withstand the wiles and the attacks of the devil. Get it good now. You can be giving your best in evangelizing the lost, your best in edifying the saints, your best in loving people who are difficult to love, your best in worshiping God in the beauty of holiness, your best in community involvement, helping those who are less fortunate than you, your best in excellence, striving to be all that God would have you to be, and still beatings come in your life. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 talks about, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. So persecuted they the prophet. Now that's a strange request to rejoice and be exceedingly glad when they say all manner of evil against you. The book says rejoice and be exceedingly glad. I'm still growing to that point, but at least I know it's in the Bible that when trouble come in your life, you ought not think it strange. You talking about somebody talked about you. They killed the prophets. Do you have this point? Beatings coming to our line. Now I want to spend the rest of my little sermon here talking about how to get through this bad beating. And these 4 points now line up under focus on obeying God's will. If you fall asleep now, just know I was talking about obeying God's will. Here's the first thing I want to say up under this ideal here. You need to learn, and I need to learn, we need to learn how to focus on God instead of revenge. God instead of revenge. When Paul got beaten, when he got up from the beating, I was impressed by the brother's focus on doing God's will. There's nothing in the text to suggest that he wanted to go and get revenge with those people who wrongfully beat him. Nobody would have accused, nobody would have blamed Paul for wanting revenge. Nobody would have blamed Paul for getting something softer than revenge. We would call it justice. But Paul's agenda was, I just want to do my master's will. He was focused on trusting God to handle the issues of his life. And I must admit, this can be extremely difficult sometimes, but it'll help you get through your beating. If you can learn how to just keep your eye on the Lord and follow after him, the Lord will take care of you. So I knew Sister Pam Johnson would be here today. And so I was trying to find an illustration to lift this up. And I think the Holy Spirit came by and said, tell them about a running back. That if you are on the football field, the guy who catches the ball or is handed the ball, that's this running back. And it's not strange at all for him to get hit hard. They like hitting the running back. And you know, sometimes you can get hit so hard until you begin to focus on the wrong thing. The running back's job is to receive the ball and run as far forward as possible. He's not the quarterback. He's not the center. He's not a blocker. His job is to run the ball. He got to focus on running the ball, even though the last time he ran the ball, he got his mouthpiece knocked out. I was watching a game the other day. They hit the boy so hard, his mouthpiece fell out on the ground. That would have been the end of my football career, but that ain't even what we're talking about. We're talking about staying focused. Sometimes things can get so rough in your life that you began to overcompensate and you try to play positions that have not been assigned to you, but you got to learn how to stay focused and trust God to take care of you. Can anybody testify that replaying the play over and over in your mind is not going to help you? There are some people who have replayed over and over again how many times you've been mistreated, how you've been abused. You play this tape in your mind every night before you go to sleep. You play it every morning when you wake up. Anytime you get a quiet moment, you replay how badly you have been treated. But can't you see that's not serving your greater agenda? It's doing nothing but causing you to lose sleep. It's doing nothing but messing up your appetite. It's doing nothing but lowering your quality of life. You got to learn how to come up here and trust that God knows what he is doing. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Romans 12, 19 is a marvelous text. It says, vengeance belongs to the Lord. Now that's nice, but I like the next part of the phrase. It says, and he will repay. Oh, shucks, I feel this one right here. Listen to what I'm just saying. Not only does vengeance belong to the Lord, that doesn't do me much good. When I'm thinking about revenge, it doesn't really bother me, don't help me, that vengeance belongs to the Lord. But I like this latter part of the phrase, he will repay. That's a promise of scripture, that not only does vengeance belong to the Lord, but I can trust him to repay. So then whoever has mistreated you, whoever has dogged you, whoever lied on you, whoever stabbed you in your back, whoever has tried to manipulate you, you don't have to lower yourself to that level. You can stay up here on higher ground and trust God to repay. Yeah, focus on God's will. Focus on God and not revenge. Here's the second thing I'm talking about. I label this perspective. Perspective. You don't like that label, change it to something else. I call it perspective. You got to remember that whatever's going on in your life, it could have been worse, but it's going to get better. Did you hear what I just said? It could have been worse, but it is going to get better. They beat Paul and left him for dead, but he was not dead. It could have been worse. Perhaps, arguably, some of Paul's best ministry was after this bad beating that he experienced. If you or someone you love has wrestled with and or are wrestling with substance abuse, perhaps you've heard the phrase, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And when you and I look back over our life and see beatings that we have endured, or beatings we are enduring, or beatings that look like they will have to be endured, we must remember that it could have been worse. But if we hold on just a little while longer, it's going to get better. Even for those who say, well, Reverend, some people die in their beating. Some people die in their storm. Some people die with the trouble of their life. You got to lift your gaze. Have you not heard? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When a believer dies, that's a graduation from Cincinnati to heaven. I don't know anybody who made it to heaven and said, I want to go back to Cincinnati. So then if we would just trust God, you will discover that is going to get better. And isn't it interesting that the preacher has to remind the pew, even in an African-American context, that it could have been worse, but it's going to get better. If anybody ought to be able to preach this sermon, it ought to be us. Less than 150 years ago. Now, to put this in context, Sister Maddie Sue Walker is a little over 100 years ago. Just a little less than 150 years ago, black folk were slaves in this country. So people would own hogs, and they would own cows, and they would own slaves, and they would own crops out in the field, just property. But in less than 150 years, we've gone from being slaves till we don't even think about the fact we got a black mayor. That don't even catch our attention no more. We got a black mayor. We got black folk on the city council. We have blacks on the school board. We have blacks in the state house, state representatives, state senators. It's no big deal that they're black. And here we are now in the second term of the first African-American president of the United States of America. If anybody ought to be able to say amen to it could have been worse, but it's gonna get better, it ought to be black believers. Paul, the major character of our text, is the one who penned those marvelous words in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things are working together for good for those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. It was the same Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, that talks about how the stuff we see is light and is momentary compared to what God has planned for us. No matter how bad the beating may seem to you today, you got to remind yourself, self, it could have been worse. And self, if you can just hold on, is going to get better. I'm trying to help us get through a bad beating. So I told you, first of all, focus on God's will instead of revenge. Check your perspective. Here now, I want to talk about minister to others. This is the third thing I'm talking about now. Minister to others. When Paul got up from his beating, his stock just went up. Because instead of him heading to the bench, talking about I don't want to play no more, he gets right back on the field, talking about he's preaching, he's teaching with others about how good the Lord is. His sermon, it says, was good news. Verse 21, they preached the good news in that city. Now, I want you to just think about if you were Paul in this text and you'd have just got beat for preaching the gospel, that probably would be the center of your next sermon, how I done got beat for the gospel. But Paul's message was the Lord is still good. His mercy is still everlasting. His truth yet endureth to all generations. Now, when Paul ministers to others, he ministers to them with words. I mean, what kind of preacher wouldn't have some words? And I say to you and to me, we ought to have some words to encourage and strengthen one another on this journey. It is embarrassing to hear Cincinnati Bengal fans talking about who they. And then you come to church and can't get a hallelujah. Folk who never won the Super Bowl talking about who they. And Jesus, who wins all of the Super Bowls, can't get a thank you, Jesus. What's wrong with this picture? We ought to have some words. If you don't have any, let me give you some. Here's Psalms 37, 1 and 2. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. You ought to have some words. If you don't like that, try Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Get you some words. 1 John 4:4 says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Don't lose your words. But then Paul did not only have words of encouragement, his deeds ministered to others. The fact that he had been through something added extra power to that statement in verse 22. It says, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. The man who said that had just been beaten to the brink of death. Can you imagine how what he had just been through gave so much power to these words he's saying? Let me put it like this. If you've never been poor, it's easy for you to talk about how the Lord will make a way somehow. If you don't know nothing about government cheese, you just heard it in the comedian's joke, it's easy for you to be talking about the Lord will make a way somehow. If you never went in the refrigerator and just had a pitcher of water in the refrigerator, you don't know nothing about the Lord. You know what you heard about the Lord will do, but there's something about passing the test that gives you the testimony. If you really want to be effective, you got to be a wounded healer. I said a wounded healer. I think that's what Jesus is talking about in Luke 22, 32. And I know I'm preaching a number of different sermons, but it just came to me like this. Luke 22, 32, Jesus tells Peter, when you are converted, I want you to go strengthen others. I can tell you from my own personal experience, it's one thing preaching from books, but it's another to preach from pain. It's one thing to preach from what you done heard the professor say, something altogether different to preach from what you have experienced. No wonder Paul tells Peter in Luke chapter 22, 32, after you are converted, Peter, then I want you to go and strengthen others. I think the Lord is telling somebody that today, that as you go through and after you come through your beating, don't just go sit on the sideline and say, I've paid my dues. No, the Lord has brought you through so you can help somebody else come through. Word and deeds. But finally, under ministering to others, can I just share this with you? The more we minister to others, the more we are ministered to. The more we encourage others, the more we are encouraged. There is something therapeutic about serving others. And just to show you, I'm not making it up. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, that Sermon on the Mount, there is that phrase in Matthew 5, 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. There is something about ministering to others instead of waddling in your own pity party that helps you get through a bad beating. Now, can I just tell you, the devil don't want you ministering to nobody. After terrible things happen in your life, the devil say you ought to take a break, go sit on the sideline, let somebody else do this. You just sit over here and just concentrate on how bad things have been in your life. Just remind yourself how terrible the beating was and how everybody just watched you. Nobody came to your rescue, and he really wants you to just experience it 1,001 times in your life. And before you know it, you're tired from the beating, and then you're tired from the rerun in your mind over and over again. How then can we break this cycle of replaying the bad beating? You got to get busy doing something else. Learn how to minister to others, because not only is it going to help them, it's going to help you. The more you talk about the goodness of the Lord, the more you remind yourself that the Lord is good. The more you tell others the Lord will make a way, the more you remind yourself the Lord will make a way. The more you tell others his peace transcends all understanding, the more you remind yourself that his peace really does transcend all understanding. The more you tell others that joy comes in the morning, the more you remind yourself, self, joy is coming in the morning. Ministry helps the minister and those we minister to. But then there is this matter of leadership development. I told you it was four things that I wanted to lift. That God, instead of revenge, told you to check your perspective, told you to minister to others. Here then is this last piece, leadership development. Not only did Paul get up from the beating and tell others about how you got to go through some hardship to enter the kingdom of God and told them the good news, but you ought not ignore verse 23. It says, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church. Prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. I want to look at this text from three different perspectives. First of all, as a leader. Every leader worth his or her salt ought to have a desire for the work to outlive them. A C student of history knows nobody lives forever. You and I ought to make sure we are investing in somebody to keep the ministry moving after we're gone. Paul and Barnabas didn't try to be the pastor of everywhere they went. They were what we would call itinerant apostles. They didn't stay in one place. They would hit here for a little while and move somewhere else. Some of you from the South remember Reverend would come by here on the first and third Sunday, because on the other weeks he was over there on the second and fourth Sunday. They were itinerant minister. Paul was even more itinerant than that, but he knew if the work was going to continue, he could not just have a bunch of church members. He had to develop some elders. And if you and I love the kingdom as opposed to developing our own fan club, we ought to develop some leaders, some elders, some people who can keep the ministry moving when we're gone. But from a second perspective, that's from the leader's perspective, to those of you who are leadership material, and I must admit, everybody's not leadership material. Some people have a skill deficit. They don't know how to do, can't be taught how to do. Other people are extremely competent, they just have a terrible character. They know how to count, they just keep miscounting to their benefit. They stealing. They're intelligent people, but they're manipulative. They use their intelligence to manipulate people into their own agenda. They have a will deficit. Their attitude is skewed. But if you are leadership material, if you have the ability and you have the character to serve God at a higher level, now is the time. Pastor's trying to tell you it's time to step up. When I read Luke chapter 19 and read about how the master gives pieces of money to each one of his servants, what I like about Luke is he gave everybody the same piece of money. Everybody comes away with the same amount of money. Matthew says they got different amounts of money. Luke says everybody got the same amount of money. But the one who was able to take the money and do the best was blessed at the highest level. The one who did average was blessed at average. And the one who did nothing was blessed at his level of faith. There are too many people, even in our own church, who do just enough to get by. And the Lord is calling us to live at a maximum and not at a convenience. Mm-hmm. Here's the third piece I want to tell you. That some people are not the leader. Some people are not leadership material. Perhaps the Lord has blessed you with the gift of help. You are a marvelous follower. Praise the Lord. Every leader needs some followers. So if you're not the leader, if you're not leadership material, then you ought to be the best supporter that you can be. When this text says he appointed elders in these churches, the implication was somebody was going to stay there to follow the elders' leadership, because Paul and Barnabas are getting ready to go. Wouldn't that be marvelous if every time the leader just appoints somebody, then everybody else would just follow who the leader has appointed to be in charge? But how many of you all know it's not always that easy? You have to have disciples who can follow leadership. It's hard to get babies to just follow leadership. As we looked at this cabinet appointment for 2013, it was sad to see how difficult it was because of people's reputations for giving the leader a hard time. So there were people we just didn't want to put under all that stress and all of that strain. Can I remind you that Romans 12:5 says to us that we are all members of one body. Somehow, some way, we got to learn how to work together. Listen, this is what I tried to tell you today. Don't be surprised when beatings
come into your life. No matter how saved and saintly you may be, problems, troubles, beatings are sure to come. But you and I can get through it. And the best way through it is not to focus on revenge, but to learn how to just trust that God is still working this thing out. The best way to get through it is to remind yourself, make yourself a note if you have to, take yourself out to coffee and remind yourself, self, it's bad, but it could have been worse. It's bad, but it's going to get better. Third thing I tried to tell you was you gotta find something to do. You can't just sit up here and say, I'm not going to think about it. The more you tell yourself, I'm not going to think about it, your mind is programmed to ask the question, you're not going to think about what? And so you can't tell yourself, I'm going to forget it. You got to busy yourself with an alternative. And there's no better alternative than to serve the Lord by serving people. And then finally, our service ought to point to leadership development. Because at the end of the day, you and I have a date with death. But the work ought to keep on going on. Now, I kind of rushed through this sermon because I want to tell you all about somebody else I heard who had suffered a bad beating. I know I was rushing. I know I should have took some time. I should have hovered over some of these points, but I gave you the verses. Y'all go read those verses. I want to tell y'all about somebody else who suffered a bad beating. You may have heard about him. All around the world, people celebrate his birthday. They celebrate how he was born in a manger, and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. This man who suffered a bad beating, y'all may have heard about how, yes, he did make the blind to see. Yes, he did make the lame to walk. And what did the community do in response to his healing and preaching stuff like, love ye one another? They tell me that they came and arrested him. Well, let me back up and tell you how the arresting officers knew where to meet him. One of his own disciples went and sold him out for just 30 little pieces of silver. They came and arrested him and took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. Yeah. They interrogated him, and even Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. Did y'all hear me? But y'all know the story. They beat him all night long. You may recall Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion. I think Mel Gibson could have done better with the pigmentation of the characters in his movie. But one thing I gotta give Gibson credit for was the gory scene of how they beat him. They beat him and beat him. And the blood came streaming down. Yes, y'all. And after they beat him, they made him carry his cross up Calvary's Hill.
oh Lord, today. And if that's not bad enough, they nailed him to a rugged cross, hung him up high. Oh yes it did. It was terrible. It was a bad beating, y'all. But thanks be unto God. That's not the end of the story. Can I tell y'all what happened? 3 days later, I said 3 days later, he rose with all power in his hand. They tell me that he sits on the right side of the Father, mediating for you, mediating for me. I think y'all know his name, but I just like to call his name. No, I just love to call his name. His name, it makes me feel better. His name dries the tears from my eyes. His name gives me joy down in my soul. So please let me call his name. Jesus. Jesus. Anybody here ever had to call him? Jesus. Wanted to help you get through a bad beating. Jesus. Wanted to help you get through your midnight situation. I dare you get in trouble and to learn how to stop cussing so much and learn how to call on the name of Jesus. And sometimes you gotta double it up. Jesus is not enough. You gotta call him 2 times. Jesus, Jesus. And it'll get good to you. And before you know it, you done got in a circle. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I gotta quit. Gotta serve communion. But I could not end my little Bible story without telling you about Jesus making it through a bad beating. So get it good now. If Jesus made it through, if Paul made it through, then the Lord can help you get through. I know it's bad. I know it's unfair. I know you didn't think it was gonna be this bad. But I dare you, I devil dog dare you to just hold on just a little while longer. If you don't give up on God, God will not give up on you. I wish I had a witness that no, God will take care of you. I said, I wish I had a witness that know that God sure enough will take care of you. Would you help me? Would you just find 3 people and just tell them God will take care of you? Go on and tell them God will take care of you. Don't be so hateful. Tell somebody God will take care of you. I dare you, tell the Lord yes. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Yes, I trust you.
Yes, I believe you. Yes, there's power in yes. So many people are telling you no, but I dare you to just give the Lord a great big yes. Yes, I'm going to trust you. Yes, I'm going to keep the faith. Yeah, I'm going to hold on. Oh, yes, I don't feel no waste time. I got to quit, y'all. Got to serve communion. But I feel a yes in my spirit. Oh, yeah. I know the Lord had not brought us this far just to leave us now. So I don't know what y'all gonna do. But I made up my mind to run on. Run on. Oh, run on and see what the end will bring. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right?
Hallelujah.
I'm thankful. I said I'm thankful that I know him. I mean, y'all listen, I didn't just read some books about him. I didn't just write some papers about him. I know Jesus. And he can help you get through. No matter how bad the beating may be, no matter how jacked up your life may be, if you can just stay focused, if you can get your mind right, if you can keep your hands busy with the Lord's work, before you know it, the storm clouds that have floated into your life will float right on back out of your life. But you got to stay focused. Yes, you've been beaten. Yes, you've been mistreated. But playing that tape over and over and over and over again, telling everybody you see about how you've been so mistreated, that's not helping anything. It's making the wound worse. If you're trying to get through, get your mind right, get your hands busy, serve the Lord, and God will see you through.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you what I know, he'll get you through it. Listen, the door's open.